All right, good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Philip and I'm on the leadership team and also part of the preaching team. And when Gavin put out the preaching roster at the start of the year, I was very keen to preach on this passage because it's one that has I've found really encouraging over the time. It's not my usual attire when I get up here to preach, but I'll be joining the masses out at Simpsons Gap shortly, along with Solly and Micah and Will and Deborah. And Megan's already out there, having done a significant part already this morning. So be good to pray for the competitors in the Westmax Monster, and particularly for the organisers. Simon Duke is the race director. And because of the wet weather, the wet conditions, the potential for incidents and injury is greater. Anyway, let's the first letter to the Thessalonians was believed to be the very first letter that Paul wrote. The Apostle Paul wrote many letters, which are in the New Testament, and some of them have been lost, but this is considered to be the first one that was written, and it was written about AD 50 or AD 51. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it has been documented, and we thank you that we can learn from it. We thank you for those who have gone before us and who have ultimately passed the word down to us so that we can have it today. And I pray that as I speak, that your words will resonate through your Holy Spirit, and we will not only grow but be challenged in other areas. Amen. Right, have you ever experienced a friendship with a group of people where you've almost instantly felt connected? When you talk with them, they quickly relate to what you're saying, and there is a bond of friendship which endures. Perhaps you've been fortunate enough to have experienced this in a work situation. The synergy that occurs in this situation usually results in a very productive partnership because everyone seems to be on the same page. I was blessed with this experience many years ago when I was asked to help start Palmerston Christian School just out of Darwin. There's a young version of me. These two ladies who helped me run the school that year shared a very similar outlook on education to me. To begin with, we were the only full-time staff, and together with an inexperienced but enthusiastic school council, we combined to meet the many challenges that arose in that first year. Without that God-given synergy, the task would have been overwhelming. Now, when Paul first met the people of faith who were living in Thessalonica, he had a similar experience. And this is evident from the account written by Luke in the book of Acts, and also in this letter that Paul wrote to the newly established church. To understand the context of this letter, it's necessary to go back and read some of Acts chapter 16, and the first nine verses of chapter 17, which describe Paul's visit to Thessalonica. So, Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So Paul and his companions first went to Philippi, which you can see just to just underneath that Macedonia. So they went to Philippi before they then went to Thessalonica. Now we're reading from Acts 17. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the other believers before the city officials, shouting, "These men have caused trouble all over the world and have come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the officials were thrown into turmoil. The authorities made Jason and the others pay the required amount of money to be released and then let them go. But the believers in Thessalonica only had Paul with them for three Sabbath days. So Paul and Silas were only with them for less than 4 weeks before they were forced to leave the city abruptly. So this church was very fresh and new and had already suffered some persecution unjustly. A few months later, Paul wrote back to the Thessalonians while he was further south ministering in the city of Corinth. He was concerned to know if the Thessalonian believers had kept their faith or if they had given it up because of the persecution that had arisen. Paul's letter was prompted by a very positive report from Timothy, who had commended the young church for their faith, love, and hope despite the ongoing opposition. So we're just going to watch a video for a few minutes, which gives an introduction to this letter and helps to clarify it for us.
Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. This is most likely the earliest letter that we have from Paul, and the backstory for it is found in the book of Acts. It's where Paul and his co-worker Silas went to the ancient Greek city of Thessalonica. And after just 1 month of telling people the good news about Jesus, a large number of Jewish and Greek people gave their allegiance to Jesus, and they formed the first church community there. But trouble was brewing. Paul's announcement of the risen Jesus as the true Lord of the world, it led to suspicion. So the Christians in Thessalonica were eventually accused of defying Caesar, the Roman emperor, when they said that there is another king, Jesus. And this led to a persecution that got so intense, Paul and Silas actually had to flee from the city, and this was painful for them because they loved the people there so much. And so this letter is Paul's attempt to reconnect with the Christians in Thessalonica after he got a report from Timothy that they were doing more than okay, they were flourishing despite this intense persecution. He designed the letter to have two main movements. First is a celebration of their faithfulness to Jesus, and then he challenges them to keep growing as followers of Jesus. And then these two movements are surrounded by three prayers. The letter opens with a thanksgiving prayer, the two movements are linked together by a transitional prayer, and then the whole thing is concluded with a final prayer. It's a beautiful design. Paul opens by giving thanks and celebrating the Thessalonians' faith, their love for others, and their hope in Jesus despite persecution. He goes on to retell the story of their conversion, how they used to be idolatrous polytheists, and they were living in a culture where all of life was permeated by institutions and practices that honored the Greek and Roman gods. And Paul talks about how they turned away from those idols to serve the living and true God, and that they're now waiting for the coming of God's Son from heaven. So in a city like Thessalonica, transferring your allegiance to the Creator God of Israel and to King Jesus, this came at a cost. Isolation from your neighbors, hostility from your family. But for the Thessalonians, the overwhelming love of Jesus who died for them and the hope of his return, it made it all worth it. Paul then retells the story of his mission in Thessalonica and of the dear friendships he formed with the people. He uses really intimate metaphors here. They treated him like their child, and he became like their mother and like their father. He says, "We were happy to share with you not only the good news from God, but our very selves, because we came to dearly love you." Paul reminds us here that the essence of Christian leadership is not about power and having influence. It's about healthy relationships and humble, loving service. He reminds them that he never asked for money. He simply came to love and serve them in the name of
All right. We'll now just have a look at the chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. This is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Okay, this is an artist's impression of what Thessalonica might have looked like. It was a major wealthy and religious capital of the Roman Empire in Macedonia, which is part of Greece today. The believers were primarily Gentiles who had turned from idols, as is mentioned in verse 9, which indicated a dramatic shift away from paganism. In many ways, this group of believers became an exemplary church. The church faced immediate, intense, and ongoing hostility, largely because of their allegiance to Jesus as Lord. And as mentioned in the video, this was seen by their opponents as defying Caesar. Paul begins his letter by saying how thankful he is for the church. He assures them that he prays regularly for them. So are you thankful for your church? And do you pray regularly for your pastors and leaders? We have much to be thankful for here in Alice Springs. Many of the city and country churches around Australia at present have mostly people of my age and older attending them. We are so blessed to have so many young families and mission-focused people here at ASBC. And the churches across Alice Springs need the prayers and encouragement of many if they are to continue to have an impact in this town. When Paul thought of the believers in Thessalonica, he rejoiced because they had become an example or a model to the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. That's the rest of Greece. He wrote, "The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere." What a wonderful testimony. So in northern and southern Greece, they became an example to all the other churches. When Paul said this, he wasn't just looking at their good points and overlooking their faults. While we know that Paul was always tactful in the letters that he wrote, he could also be quite direct and critical, as he was when he wrote to the Corinthians and the Galatians. But he says here how thankful he is for their work produced by faith, their labour that was prompted by love, and their endurance which was inspired by hope in Jesus Christ. What is the work produced by faith? What does it look like? Well, it's the evidence of our faith once we have believed in Jesus. In Ephesians 2 verse 10, Paul explicitly states that we are not saved by works, but we are saved to do good works. And the letter of James also makes this clear when James says, "I will show you my faith by my works." Just believing is not enough. And he goes on to say, "You believe that God is one? Basically, big deal. You do well. The demons also believe this and shudder. But are you willing to recognize that faith without works is useless?" So what does work produced by faith look like? Well, Jesus gave many examples during his teaching. It includes acts of service, such as caring for the sick, supporting the weak, feeding the hungry, doing good to those who harm you, visiting in prison, and standing up for the truth. It also includes being obedient and resilient in difficult circumstances. Paul was also thankful for the Thessalonians' labour of love. Or as one translation has put it, your labour motivated by love. This labour of love could include their love for God and their love for people shown through their works of faith. But in the context of the circumstances, it probably refers to their evangelism, their willingness to share the gospel with others despite the opposition that they were facing. They were concerned for the lost, for those dying without Christ, and for the well-being of others. And then Paul highlights that their endurance was inspired by hope. The Thessalonians were being faithful through trials of suffering and hardship. The hope of the return of Jesus and of eternity spent with him provides strength and endurance during adversity. Without this hope, the future for those who are suffering is bleak. Paul then recalls how the power of God actually transformed the lives of these believers, turning them from serving idols into serving God. The Thessalonian culture was entrenched in idolatry. And our Western culture is similarly steeped in the worship of material possessions and has an unhealthy reliance on government and technology. Can we pray with deep conviction that the Holy Spirit will also transform lives in our community? How about yourself? Has the power of the Holy Spirit transformed your life? Has the gospel message changed the personal goals that you had set for yourself? Is your primary purpose now serving Jesus, or are you still motivated by serving your own desires? The Thessalonian believers faced considerable pressure from their idol-worshipping community. They wanted to prevent them from sharing the good news of Jesus. In the Acts account, the opponents of Paul accused him of encouraging the people to submit to another king other than Caesar. The persecution of these new believers was real and was evidenced by the treatment of Jason, the man in whose house Paul and Silas had been staying. And so when Paul and Silas left Thessalonica after just a few weeks, Paul was most concerned for the welfare of those who had believed the message. He was pleasantly surprised and very encouraged when Timothy came to him sometime later with news telling of how these believers had endured the persecution and were now remaining strong in their faith. In chapter 3 of this letter, which will be looked at in a couple of weeks, Paul writes, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also to long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord." A final indication that the Thessalonian believers were committed to their faith was their generosity. And we learn this from what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The Thessalonian believers, along with those from nearby cities of Philippi and Berea, were very generous in supporting Paul's collection for the poor Christians who were struggling in Jerusalem and Judea. They were very generous even though times were challenging. He says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want to know about the grace that God, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people." So clearly, when Paul and Silas brought the gospel to the Thessalonian believers, the impact on them was profound. They weren't just gathering together once or twice a week to sing songs and to keep each other company. The message of God actually transformed their lives in every way. They became known for their works of faith, for their labor of love, for the hope they had in expecting Jesus to return, for their endurance during challenging situations, and for their generosity. These are qualities that every Christian believer should aspire to have. The Thessalonians became role models to other believers, and they gave non-believers good reason to seriously consider embracing the Christian faith. We would do well to follow their example. In doing so, our community may be transformed too with the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Jesus, I want to thank you for the work and courage of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and for the scriptures that we have which record their teaching and the challenges that they faced. Thank you too for the work of the Holy Spirit in authenticating their message and for strengthening the believers. I pray that the gospel message can continue to transform the lives of people in Australia, and especially here in Central Australia where there is much need. Help each one of us to do our part to bring about the change you desire in the lives of those who are lost. We thank you for the churches that you have raised up in Alice Springs, and we pray that their ministry will be effective and that they will be places where people can meet, can find you. Amen.